This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Anchor by Spotify. And if you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training or equipment needed. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast worldwide on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, like I've been saying, Anchor is totally free. It's free. Download the Anchor app today or go to anchor.fm to get started and make your podcast dreams a reality. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
Well, it's a big show.
Welcome to the Fade Route.
It's a big bad show tonight.
With DNZ.
Yeah, it's a big show.
Here are your hosts.
Crack it up. Tell them them lies.
DNZ.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The Jets are playing for first place. The Raiders lose to Jeff Saturday. And the Warriors can't seem to win on the road. But we begin today's show with baseball. Awards were handed out this week for MVP, Manager of the Year, Cy Young. And, you know, among one of the controversial ones was the American League MVP award, which went to Aaron Judge. Z, do you have any issue with the Yankees slugger winning the American League MVP award this year?
Now, of the three, right, it was a distant third for Jordan Alvarez of the Astros, who, you know,
but should have been. But should it have been, though? Should he have really been a distant third? His team came in first. They actually wound up winning the championship. He was arguably the best hitter on their team.
But the way it goes is that the second place votes have the weighting. You know, the way it goes now is that you have your 31st place votes and they have a significant weight. And then the second place and third place votes, they're not going to get you as much. And even though Alvarez had a great year, he did not get the necessary first place votes to get even close. He didn't even sniff the conversation, you know? You're looking at, and even Ohtani, compared to Aaron Judge, Judge gets 28 out of 30 first place votes, 410 voting points in total. Ohtani gets 2 first place votes from LA and LA, so LA and Anaheim, and 280 points. So this was not a close race. So I think that it's more than reasonable that Aaron Judge earned the MVP based on the season that he had. He had a record-setting season for an American League slugger. No one in American League history has ever hit more home runs than he has. And it's not like he was like hitting 220 with the 63, 62 home runs. He hit 311. He drove in 131 RBIs. He scored 133 runs. He had a slugging of 686. He had a 111 OPS. He had, if you believe in war, he had an almost 11 war. Right? Aaron Judge is more than deserving. Now, what I find interesting is that so many people, particularly at the worldwide leader, lined up to slurp Shohei Ohtani. Yes. Two-way player, I understand. That's what the Cy Young is for. Like, he was a better pitcher than he was a position player this year. He was a better position player than he was a designated hitter. If you look at the numbers, just look at the numbers. 273, 34, 95. Not even close to Judge in any statistic. Not even close. He had a better OPS. Actually, no, he had a worse OPS. He had an 875 OPS. So, across the board, offense to offense, Aaron Judge had Shohei Ohtani beat this year.
So you're saying if you had the vote, that's who you would have voted for.
I would have voted for Aaron Judge. I absolutely would. He is more than a deserving candidate. I absolutely believe so. Now, I get it. Shohei Ohtani's a unicorn. He's a pitcher as well as a hitter. He's the Japanese Babe Ruth. I understand all that, but Aaron Judge had far and away a better season. So
I mean, the whole thing is but what you're identifying to me is you're identifying the guy who had the best season. Mm-hmm. He was the best player. But that's not what this award is. This isn't the best player award. It's the most valuable player award. I can't disagree with you more. Now, if you want to look at it, right? You want to talk about numbers? Aaron Judge's WAR was 10.6. Mm-hmm. 10.6.
Yes.
Shohei Ohtani's WAR was 9.6. 1 point is the difference between the two. But one guy bats and pitches, and the other guy just bats. I mean, listen, if you switch them up, right? If you put Aaron Judge on the Angels, do you think they win or lose any more games? I actually think they would probably lose more games because they wouldn't have Ohtani pitching games for them. If you put Ohtani on the Yankees, you're gonna tell me definitively that they don't win more games?
Yes.
Because now Ohtani takes Tyone's spot, I would imagine. You're going to tell me they're not going to win just as many or more games?
Yes.
He's hitting... He doesn't hit 62 bombs, but he hits 34 bombs. That's not bad.
It's not enough. It wasn't enough. The definition... My definition of valuable. You take Aaron Judge off of the Yankees this year. These Yankees...
They still make the playoffs.
No, they do not.
Come on, man. No, it's not true. Listen, this is what I'm gonna say, and this is what I'm standing by, is that it's not the best player award. We get into this issue with the NBA all the time. Aaron Judge had a terrific season, all-time season, probably one of the best seasons in Major League Baseball history. He was the best player last year. That's not what this award is for. This award is supposed to be going to the most valuable player. There is no player more valuable than Shohei Ohtani because he pitches and he hits. And he's top five in both of those positions. He was a top five pitcher. He was a top five hitter. Now, I get it. If his ERA was 7, if he was batting 220, nah, then okay, yeah, sure. He was the best hitter and the best pitcher on his team. There is nobody who affected the game more than Shohei Ohtani this past season. And if you want to go a step further, Judge sucked it up the last 6 weeks of the season too. Ohtani stood strong throughout the whole time. I'm not trying to... Listen, if I had a vote, I would have voted for Ohtani. Because what he is doing can't be replicated. There's no other player that can do. He's the most valuable player in professional baseball.
So your argument is the LeBron argument. LeBron can win MVP
every year. He should win every year. Well, except for last year, but before that, yeah. Every year. He's the best player.
My thing is this. I'm just gonna go with this. But yeah, phenomenal talent. Shohei Ohtani's phenomenal talent. 73 and 89. That's all I'm going to say. 73 and 89. He's such a phenomenal talent that they were that far under 500. They were that far. They were 33 games back.
But what do you want? What do you want him to do? He hit 34 bombs. He was lights out as a pitcher. What else could he fucking do? What do you want him to do? What does he have to do?
What does he have to do? To do what Aaron Judge did.
You want him to hit 62 home runs and have a sub-3 ERA.
That
and then he could win the award? Then it's okay?
The New York Yankees were hot garbage outside of Aaron Judge this year. We watched them. We saw it. Aaron Judge single-handedly carried that team consistently throughout the year. Did he fall down at the end of the year? Yes, he did. But he did enough during the entirety of the season to warrant the award.
Listen, I go back to the idea that if you switch them, if you put Ohtani on the Yankees are still just as good. The Yankees still make the playoffs. They still get knocked out in the American League Championship Series. You put Judge on the Angels, it's not changing much. They're probably going to lose more games because they don't have Ohtani to win them games. How is that? Shohei Ohtani was third in strikeouts as a pitcher.
Third
Come
in strikeouts
on.
And third in the American League West.
Come on, but I don't know what he was fourth in ERA. He had a 2.33 Z.
That's what the Cy Young is for.
He's not a bum.
He's not a bum, but look at the record. Look at the record. That's all you need to know.
So he has to lead the league in ERA, lead the league in strikeouts, and lead the league in home runs, and then he can get the MVP. But all Judge has to do is lead the league in home runs and come close in average, and that's fine.
That's fine. Absolutely, that's fine.
It's smoke and mirrors, dude. It's just like I'm trying to say he, like I said, he was the best player, no doubt about it. Best season, all time season. It doesn't measure up to what Ohtani brings to the table for the Angels of Anaheim.
It does not matter.
Clearly.
This is the issue. Alex Rodriguez won an MVP on a last place fucking team. They can win with him. They can win without him. It's the same thing with Shohei.
Look at Trout. Yeah, look at Trout. Look at all the years Trout won. They never were any good.
Excuse me.
And Trout had 40 bombs this year. I didn't even know he had 40 bombs.
He did? That's surprising to me. I thought he had 40 hits for the season.
No, he came in second place in the American League in home runs with 40 bombs.
How crazy is that?
Isn't that wild?
Surprising.
And your boy Yordan Alvarez was third with 37.
If you told me Trout and 40, I would say he played 40 games this year. You know, with his Cavs.
Before we move on to the next topic, if you had Aaron Judge on your team, would you trade him straight up for Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts is a different kind of player. Like, if I'm the New York Yankees, I would seriously consider that.
Right.
But I would. I would seriously consider
it. Right, absolutely.
But ultimately, I don't know. I think they'd be better off sticking with Aaron Judge and then bringing in Trey Turner. Like the rumor says,
Where's Trey Turner going to play?
He can play center, he can play short, he can play second. But he can do all three of those and play very well. And he provides
you. I think Turner's
going
to the O's.
Oh my God, that's a waste if I ever heard one.
What are you talking about? The O's are ready, man. They're ready to pop. That's happening.
They're ready.
The O's are ready, man. Are you kidding? And if I'm telling you right now, if the Yankees don't get Verlander, Toronto's getting Verlander. No doubt in my mind, Toronto's going to be like 30 mil, 1 year. Sure. Come on up. The Yankees need to do some work because if they lose this Judge sweepstakes, they're in a lot of trouble.
What are your thoughts on this collusion, too? There's that investigation that there's like a gentleman's agreement based on mutual respect that the Mets will not go after Aaron Judge.
I think the Major League Baseball needs to investigate it big time. Big time. That's horseshit. I don't hear any of that.
I personally don't buy it. I personally think it's a bunch of malarkey.
Malarkey.
It's full on malarkey.
All right, Joe B.
Yeah, you're telling me that if Aaron Judge went to the Mets and said, give me 7 years, $380 million, and I'll come play for you, the Mets would be like, no, we mutually respect the Yankees and we're not. Bullshit. They will put the contract in front of him so fast your head would spin.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I think he's headed out west, though. I mean, from everything he's talking, the things he's saying, you know, it's sounding like he doesn't feel like the Yankees are all in on him, and the Yankees can't build a contender with him. And he might be right.
Giants are shedding payroll right now. They just cut Evan Longoria loose.
The Giants want him. The Giants want him, and they'll figure out everything else after that. The only problem is like the Giants are committed to him, but are the Giants committed to win? And he wants to win, and he feels like the Yankees are committed to win, but they're not committed to paying him. I mean, that's the vibes I'm feeling from the things that I'm reading.
I'm also not convinced that the Yankees are really committed to winning. Let's be real here.
Not the way they used to be.
They would have bought Scherzer. They would have bought Verlander. And you would have had Cole, Scherzer, and Verlander 1-2-3 in that rotation last year if George Steinbrenner was still alive.
Yeah, they missed on Verlander, man. I mean, that to me was a no-brainer. I don't know how that even happened. They also would have gotten Soto. I think George would have traded everything for Soto.
George was the original fuck them picks guy.
I don't give a shit about these picks. I don't even know who these guys are. I don't care. But that's the Yankees fallback, right? It's like if they don't get Judge, they'll get Soto. And to me, he's the better play. He's the younger guy. He offers a lot more. He's already a champion. And he'll be very welcomed in the Bronx. So,
oh, no, yeah. I mean, also, you have Volpe, right? And the Yankees are high on this.
They're putting a lot into Volpe and Dominguez. Yeah. I can't remember the last time they put this much stock into a farm person. It kind of reminds me of the Jabba Chamberlain and Phil Hughes and that disaster, what that
Generation
was.
Generation Trey.
I think they won one. Right, I think Phil Hughes got one.
The only Jabba was on that team, and Hughes was on that team. Kennedy was gone by then because they got Granderson in that trade.
But he became an ace when he went to, I think, Arizona. It worked out well. He didn't win a championship, but it worked out well for him.
He became a good closer.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
You know what's going to be in demand? Tickets for Pats Jets. Now that both teams are coming out of the bye, both teams are above 500, and the Jets are out for blood, right? The Jets want to have this game so badly. They're coming off an impressive win against the Bills, but history is not on their side. Or at least recent history isn't. They've lost 13 straight games to New England. If the Jets lose, are we giving them a pass?
That's what it seems like everyone's building it up for on the radio, and that's what it seems like they're building it up for the media. You know, and I think that's taking the easy way out. Like, they should win this game. They should have won the first game. Zach Wilson threw for 355 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and they lost by 5. 4 minutes left in the game, it was 22-17, and everybody was leaving the stadium. It's like, what is going on here? But it goes back to what Bill Belichick does, right? He's gonna make you do what you're not good at. They had only 51 yards rushing in that game. That's not going to work. So let me give you something. Rookie quarterbacks and second-year quarterbacks have gone into New England and played 47 games. How many wins do you think they have in 47 games?
2.
That was my guess. That was
How
my
many?
Guess. It's actually 4. They're 4-43.
So close.
So yeah, there's that. I don't think it's gonna. This could be ugly. You know, both teams have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. That's bad news for Saleh and company. This could be like the 45-3 game where they have to bury the football. they go back to New York. I think he's gonna challenge Zach. He's gonna make Zach beat him. And if he's able to beat him, which he should be grown up and be able to do it. Good for him. If not, it could be a long, long day.
Well, it's a long day on both sides too, because Mac Jones is not exactly lighting the world on fire either. So,
but that's not their game, right? That's not their game, right? That's not how the Patriots are designed. We're not designed where we've got like a top five quarterback and we're going to throw the ball 30 times. Like, they're a very like balanced team. We're going to beat you the way we can beat you. We're not going to be forced to do anything.
But you're referencing the 45 to 3 game that was off turnovers and that was having Tom Brady. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady.
Wait, and Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead. That was a
who got
Danny
cut
Woodhead
from
game.
The Patriots. Who got cut from the Jets and signed with the Patriots.
Yeah. Do you think he had something to prove? Danny Woodhead had a little extra motivation?
But to the Jets' credit, they lost 45-3 in that game, but they did go into Foxborough and beat them in the playoffs. So they did get their revenge that same year.
They absolutely did. And you know what? This Jet team and this Patriot team, they're not that far removed. If you're talking about rushing, you're talking about the running game, right? The Pats are 17th in the league. The Jets are 18th in the league. It's literally 1.2 yards per game.
Which running backs would you rather have? I mean, I'd rather have the Patriots running backs, man. Lamont Stevenson is a beast, man.
Ramondre Stevenson is a beast. He is a good running back. He is.
And I don't know if Harris is going to play in this game, but Harris is really good, too. Like, Michael Carter's a little dude. Like, they don't have Breece Hall. If they had Bryce Hall, then it'd be different. But they don't have him. They got Michael Carter, and I can't even tell you who the other quarter running back's name is.
James Robinson.
Ty Johnson? Oh, James Robinson and Ty
James
Johnson.
James Robinson. Yeah. Right. So Robinson, he's the guy. He's going to pound the rock. That's what he does. Like, Michael Carter is going to be like that scat back, trying to get into the holes. Basically like Darren Sproles. Use him like Darren Sproles, and it will be effective against the New England Patriots. Now, the one thing that the Jets have is depth on their defensive line, right? Provided that John Franklin Myers doesn't take any stupid penalties. But I can't guarantee that John Franklin Myers isn't going to take any stupid penalties. Quinnen Williams, Vinnie Curry, John Franklin Myers, that's just three guys, right? And then the linebacking core, you have CJ, they get after the quarterback. Like, they will pressure Mac Jones in the same way that Belichick will send Matthew Judon to pressure Zach Wilson and force him into making mistakes. This is a very even and a very balanced game. And honestly, the Jets are not, it's not a homecoming game. They're not vastly superior to the Patriots. The Patriots are not vastly superior to them. So if the Patriots lose to the Jets or the Jets lose to the Patriots, you lost to it was an even fight. It's an even matchup. Now, the only difference is that you have Bill Belichick on one side and you have Robert Saleh on the other side. Bill Belichick, he has done, you know, he's been there, done that, gotten the t-shirt. Robert Saleh does not have the experience as a head coach that Bill Belichick has. But what Saleh has been able to do in a very short time is commendable. The crazy thing about this weekend, because you have the Bills game, you have the first place Dolphins, you have the Pats. If the Bills win and the Jets lose, the Jets will be in last place with a 6-4 record. Like, they'll be, you know, 6-4 will be the last place team. That's insane how deep the AFC East is. And, you know, this used to be a joke. It used to be the Patriots and three other teams. But the Jets have, and credit to Joe Douglas, and credit to Robert Saleh, they are making strides. We'll see what Zach Wilson.
I just think it's early to say something like that. I mean, you realize that they have to go to Buffalo, they have to go to Minnesota. They have some tough games coming up. It's like, Z, if they lose their next five games, are you going to still say they're making strides?
Compared to last year? Yeah. You have to credit improvement where there is improvement. And there is a major improvement. This team is dead in the fucking water last year. Like, it was horrendous. And now you actually have an energized fan base. You have players on this roster. You have a solid defense. Actually, I think the defense was number one in the league at one point. So you have guys. You have players. You're trending in the right direction. The question is, do you have the quarterback? Do you have the horse at that position? We're going to find out.
What do you
think? And if you don't find out, they'll get rid of him.
No, they're not. They're not going to get rid of him. What do you think? You think they got the guy?
I don't think they have the guy. I didn't think they had the guy in the draft. Go back to our draft episode from that draft class. We both had Mac Jones to the Jets at number two. We both thought Mac Jones was going to go to the Jets. And Mac Jones would be a steady influence on this roster. And I think he wouldn't be as dynamic as Zach Wilson is, or the potential for being dynamic as Zach Wilson is, but Mac Jones can play quarterback.
Look at it like this. I mean, Baker Mayfield, right? He was taken number one. Mm-hmm. His first year was rough, right?
Mm-hmm.
His second year, he played really well. I think well enough to the point where they got to the playoffs. Pretty sure that's the year they lost to Kansas City, and he got hurt in that game. Do you look at Zach Wilson his second year and say, oh man, he's playing like Deshaun Watson. Oh man, he's playing like Baker Mayfield. Oh man, he's playing like Mac Jones. Like, is there, like, if you look at Zach Wilson play, like, who could you possibly compare him to? Doug Flutie?
No, Baker. I would say Baker's a fair comparison.
Wow.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's no great shape. So even back then, even as a number one pick, who was he going up against? Right, you were going up against Sam Darnold, was the other bit. He was the second quarterback taken in that draft. Right, we didn't know about Mahomes, we didn't know about Lamar Jackson the way we know about them now. Like, they were risks, they were considered reaches. Kansas City traded up to take Mahomes, and people were kind of like head scratching.
I'm just saying, you look at the player, you look at the plays he makes, and you look at the collection of talent. And to me, it just doesn't add up.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live, and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook, too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Speaking of not adding up, we'll jump the gun a little bit. Let's talk a little about the Raiders.
Oh God!
The Raiders lost again on Sunday, dropping their record to 2-7 on the season.
They lost to Saturday on a Sunday. What the fuck?
After the game, Derek Carr was very emotional, probably realizing this will be his last year wearing a Raider uniform. I think we all had high hopes for the AFC West this year, and some of the football is just unwatchable. Is the AFC West the most disappointing division in football?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I would have to say no. I would argue that the NFC West is worse off. You have the defending Super Bowl champions, and they look shot. You had a young, promising team in the Arizona Cardinals, and they look shot. The Seattle Seahawks bubbled up, and they're in first place. Seattle Seahawks that we had written off for dead when they traded Russell Wilson and decided that Geno Smith won the quarterback battle, right? We're laughing at the Seattle Seahawks, and lo and behold, who's laughing now? Geno and Coach
MC Carroll. You like that? You like that?
You like that? You like that? Geno loves that. But I have to argue, I would have to argue that they are the most disappointing. And you know what? Throw in the AFC South. What, your boys, the Colts. What happened there? Like, complete free fall.
But that was a trash division. Like, that was a trash division. Like, we didn't expect
the Jags were supposed to be better.
We didn't expect the Texans to, we didn't expect the Texans to do much. Like, yeah, the Jags are supposed to be better, but we weren't expecting any noise from them. You know what I mean? And Tennessee traded away their best receiver. So, I mean, how good could they possibly be?
As long as King Henry's there. As long as King Henry's there, they're absolutely the dominant force. But it was supposed to be Henry versus Taylor, right? It was supposed to be like a throwback to a bygone era. And the Colts just completely fell apart. So you have to take into account that that division is pretty trash. And the NFC West definitely took, it's just, oh my God. But the AFC West, as long as the Chiefs are there, you know, you have the Chiefs, you have the Chargers who are kind of like laying in the weeds. And, you know, Brandon Staley, he's not doing himself any favors. That's for damn sure. But, you know, they're at least competitive. The Raiders are a joke this year. The Broncos are a joke this year. Both Western divisions, regardless of conference, they're going in the trash bin this year as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I can agree with you. Like, the West is pretty disappointing as well. But, I mean, the Raiders are just god-awful. The Broncos are just unwatchable. And the Chargers are so disappointing with all their injuries. I mean, the Raiders are already discussing, you know, C.J. Stroud. You know, if they're able to get a top 5 pick or a top 10 pick, which it looks like that's what's going to happen. I mean, you look at the Raiders, and they've changed everything over the last 8 years, and the one constant has been Derek Carr, and he's just not the guy. You had Rich Gannon come out today and saying that, you know, Carr needs to step up, and it's just like, he's playing the best he can. This is just as good as he is, and this is just as good as he always has been. I think he had 2 years out of his 8 years there where he was a Pro Bowler. And people laugh at me when I say, yo, if Derek Carr got cut tomorrow, nobody's picking up Derek Carr. I really, truly believe that. Like, I don't think there's a market for him. I don't think there's a market for his style of play. He has weapons. He's got Davante Adams. He's got Jacobs. He's got a decent line. And he had a great tight end. Like, he's had it. And he can't win. They can't close games. They can't hold leads. Yeah, I know. I have two of their players on my fantasy team, and literally, I don't start picking up points until the third quarter. They're usually getting blown out in the first half. It's just time. You know, it's just, that's just my opinion. It's just time. It's time.
Other teams will pull the trigger on him. He's in
to be their starter? To be their starter, though? No.
Sure.
Who's he started for? The Giants?
Okay. We'll play this game. Giants? Absolutely. The Texans? Absolutely. The
no
Lions,
way. No
absolutely.
Way. Davis Mills is a fine quarterback. He's a fine quarterback. No way. No way.
The Lions? Absolutely.
No way! Goff has been to a Super Bowl. Goff has won playoff games. This dude can't even win a play. He can't even beat a first-time coach. Guy's never blown a whistle in his life, and he can't beat him.
The rest of the team is there, too. You do realize that, right? It's not Derek Carr against the entire...
But Zeke Jacobs is fourth in the league in rushing yards. My man's number four. He's 4 in the league in rushing yards. Devontae Adams leads the league in receiving touchdowns.
Tell me about the defense.
What do I got to tell you? You got to score more points than the other team. That's your job as the quarterback.
As a defense, you have to keep them off the board.
But they're averaging like, I think they're averaging like 20 points a game or 25 points a game. Like, come on, man. You can't score more than that. You can't score more than that against the Colts, who don't have their best. They don't have a head coach, and they don't even have their best defensive player. Right. And forget his name, the linebacker.
Shaq Leonard.
Yeah, Shaq Leonard. Like, come on, man.
No, I Derek Carr deserves his share of the blame. It is not solely on him.
Yes,
you are scoring 22.6 points per game. You're giving up 25. So even if you round up to 23, 25 is still greater than 23.
But see, he's been the one constant over 8 years. They've had different coaches. They've had different defensive players. They've had different offensive players. They've had different running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. You name it. The only constant in Vegas and Oakland over the last 8 years has been Derek Carr. At what point do we put it on Derek Carr?
You can put a fair share of it on Derek Carr. You can't put it all on Derek Carr, is what I'm saying to you. Yes.
If Tom Brady loses on Sunday, is it Tom Brady's fault?
Quarterback will always get the lie. It will get the disproportionate amount of praise.
Aaron Rodgers lost last night. Who are we blaming for the loss? Who stood up at the podium and said, it's my fault, I gotta make better passes?
That's fine. But in some instances, it's not the quarterback's fault. Like, I think we can admit that sometimes the quarterback gets beat.
Sometimes,
like you're saying, Derek Carr is just not good enough going up against the quarterback. Sometimes the quarterback shits the bed. Sometimes the defense gives up 25 points.
Yes, like, see? Sometimes, yes. 8 years isn't sometimes.
So run through it. How many different coaches has he had? How many different coordinators has he had? Who's really the constant here? It's not just Derek Carr. It's Mark Davis. It is a dysfunctional organization. This organization sees more coaches than a turnstile in a New York City subway station. It just keeps going, man. They just keep going. And it does not matter. It does not matter. Because Mark Davis, and before that, his late father, Al Davis, they were the constant. And they loved this shit. They loved doing this stuff. They were the Steinbrenners of football. The only difference was Steinbrenner won. That's it. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2002. And until last year, before that, it was 20 years. And it's just ineptitude after ineptitude. Look at the 2019 draft class. Good job, Mayock. They all got cut. And one of them's in jail. Like, come on, man. You can't put that on Derek Carr. You can't do that. It's unfair. It's disingenuous. Like, yes, he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. He's a very middle-of-the-road quarterback. But guess what? There would still be teams that would take a flyer on him. Absolutely.
That's just because we live in America.
But look, he almost outplayed, actually, if you look at the numbers, with the exception of what? An extra sack? He was even with Matt Ryan on Sunday. He was pretty much spot on dead even. Like, he did his part. He did what he could do. But that's inexcusable. Losing to a guy who was a high school football coach and a talking head on ESPN in his first ever head coaching game in the pros, with a guy who, as his offensive coordinator, who just started shaving. Like, dude's like 30. Like, I think he just got his driver's license. Good for you. We'll celebrate. We'll go to Dairy Queen. And this is what happened. Like, that's not all on Derek Carr. I'm sorry. You can't do that. Like, he is...
So you're saying the Raiders should bring him back?
He's a symptom. He's not the problem.
So the Raiders should bring... The Raiders have their quarterback. They should bring him back.
The Raiders aren't going to bring him back.
I'm asking you,
because he makes too
though,
much money.
I'm just
he's
asking
too
you.
Much money.
He's... You're the GM... And the
yeah,
Raiders.
Absolutely. Because what
you're bringing,
what
you're
options?
Bringing Derek Carr back. What's
what
your options?
Options?
Your options,
options
are. Your options are. It's like in 8 years we haven't won a playoff game. I think it's time to get a new quarterback. That's
what are my
option.
Options? No. Well, what are my options? I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be bad enough to get one of these quarterbacks. I
sure you are.
Them.
No, you're not. You're going to be fine. You can get Stroud. Stroud's not going
Texans
top ten.
Exist. The Houston Texans exist. They only have one win.
The Texans are gonna take the kid from Alabama, man.
Well, I mean, we'll see about that. We'll definitely see. I don't know. I don't think that. I think the Raiders are gonna actually luck into wins because that's what they do. So the Raiders are not bad enough to completely bottom out.
I don't
and that's
see
been
it.
The but that's been the problem for 20 years. They haven't been so atrocious. And when the one time they were atrocious, they drafted Jamarcus Russell. So I still don't really trust their talent evaluation.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Moving over to basketball. Speaking
no,
of,
no.
No, you, oh, that's the... right. The football. That's right. There's one more football story. That's
yeah.
right. The Bills and the Browns. We're all out of order here. I'm out of sorts. The Bills and the Browns. 6 feet of snow in Buffalo. 6 feet. Feet. 12 times six, ladies and gentlemen. 12 times six. That's 72 inches of snow.
Lake
Jesus
effect.
Christ. Jesus Christ. That's all I'm going to say. Like, Buffalo is apparently, like, the 10th level of hell. But that game was moved from Buffalo because of the 72 inches of snow. It's now in Detroit. It's now in Detroit. We all enjoy watching football being played in the snow, though. Right? And these two teams, you know, Josh Allen, we're going to see him. Josh Allen, you see him. He's a big man. He's running. You got Hunt. You got Chubb. We want to see this. But rather than wait to the last minute, the NFL pulled the plug on Thursday. Any issues with this move, or does this move actually benefit one or the other side?
Well, I applaud the move because it is dangerous, man. You can't be having people trying to get to a football game in 4 or 6 feet of snow. Hell, the running backs on the Buffalo Bills are not even 6 feet tall. I mean, you're not gonna be able to see them in the storm. Right to move the game to Detroit, but this benefits, not only does this benefit the Detroit Lions, but this benefits the Cleveland Browns as well. The Buffalo Bills were not able to practice today because of the snow. They're going to have a tough time getting to Detroit. They will be playing the Browns in Detroit on Sunday, and then the Bills play Detroit again on Thanksgiving. So, in my opinion, I mean, the Bills are coming off of two bad losses. They lost to the Jets, and they just lost to the Vikings with a crazy finish. I think the Bills are checking themselves out in the mirror too much lately. I think they really, really need to win this Browns game, because if they don't lose, if they don't win this Browns game, they could potentially lose to Detroit on Thanksgiving. Detroit is coming off of a two-game win streak right now. And they have, I believe, Detroit's playing a winnable game this weekend as well against the Giants in New York. So you could be potentially playing a team that's on a three-game hot streak. The Browns are no pushover, man. Browns play defense. I think the Browns play defense better than the Jets, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I think this is going to be rough.
I think that you gave the Buffalo Bills a more distinct advantage. And we both know that the Buffalo Bills running game is Josh Allen.
Right? By moving the game to Detroit, you think Buffalo is getting the advantage?
Because now they can throw the ball.
But he's got a bad elbow.
It didn't seem to affect him. Yeah. So the UCL, it didn't look like it affected him one bit. Like you put the Browns out in element, like in the snow with Hunt and Chubb, like that's a definitive advantage for them.
Okay, I can
see
that.
It absolutely is, because you're not throwing the ball in lake effect snow. They're fifth in the league in rushing, right? At that point, Jacoby Brissett's turn around, handing the ball off, right? If I'm Stefanski, that's exactly what I'm doing. Like I'm not fucking around. You're like, here you go. But as quietly as it's kept, the Bills are ninth in the league. But how much of that's Josh Allen in terms of rushing yards? Now, like you said, he has a UCL injury. Do you really want to go into a snow game with your quarterback having to scramble for his life? Like, listening to Steve Young talking about snow, how it's very difficult to see, it's very difficult to, you know, just to grip the ball. Yes, players will be wearing gloves now. It'll be easier. You'll have your thermal that you can stick your hands in, but it's still difficult. You're not gonna be able to catch your footing the way you normally would. So, you know, by moving it to a neutral site, a climate-controlled dome, that greatly affects the game. It definitely does, and I think it definitely puts Cleveland back on its heels.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think you're pretty much playing in a neutral site, controlled climate. You're gonna get the best from both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams have something to play for here. Cleveland's trying to, you know, secure a playoff spot. Buffalo's trying to maintain their place in the East. So it's going to be a challenge, and I'll be excited to see how it nets out.
Need some last-minute fantasy football advice? Then the boys at the Fade Route have you covered. Tune in every NFL Sunday to Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with DNZ. D and I give you our top 1-2-3 fantasy starts, or green light, and fantasy sits, or red light. That's red light, green light, 1-2-3 every NFL Sunday during the season. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get the Fade Route. That's red light, green light, 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday during the season.
Moving over to basketball. The defending champion Golden State Warriors are 6-9 to start the season and currently sit in the 12th hole in the standings. They have not won a game on the road. Poole and Green had a fight before the season started. They're playing uninspired basketball. Klay can't seem to get it started. Is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Well, it's a big deal from the standpoint that their bench and rotation players that they were counting on to replace guys like Gary Payton Jr., Otto Porter Jr., Andre Iguodala, like guys that were, you know, delivering for you. These guys are not, you know, Moses Moody, James Wiseman. James Wiseman just got sent down to the G League. For seasoning, right? you need quality depth behind your starters, right? The starting lineup for the Warriors ranks out top in the league. Their reserves rank the worst in the league. You cannot have as great of you can't have that big of a disparity and still be ready and be playoff capable. Now, they're still scoring 118 points a game. That's fine. Defensively, you have to be a lot better than you are. You absolutely do, because if you're looking at it, they're routinely giving up in the 100, you know, the 110s. You had 120s, a couple of games with 120. You can't be living in a shootout. So you need defensive stoppers. You need somebody that will be a lockdown defender. And this may sound crazy. That somebody may be Ben Simmons.
You are crazy.
Yeah, well, he is a lot. When he's right, he's one of the better defenders in the league. He hadn't been right for a while. Now, there's no pressure on him if he goes to Golden State, right? Because they're not asking him to score. There are like four or five guys I would ask to score before I ask Ben Simmons to score. But stop that guy. If I'm Steve Kerr, you point at him. You point at a player. Stop that guy. You got to coach him. Like, that is what Ben Simmons would bring to that team. I heard, like, guys throwing out, like, DeMar DeRozan or Kevin Durant. That seems like a pipe dream. Like, those moves seem very much like a pipe dream or a way to unload Draymond Green's salary. But I think it would be a very realistic get, especially as the Nets move forward and they may sour on Mr. Simmons. And he might be better served coming off the bench for a contender rather than having to be part of the big three, having to be the guy like he was in Philly with Embiid. Like, that just might be who he is at this point in his career. And it might be worth a flyer because this defense doesn't appear to be getting better anytime soon. You know, they're just not where they need to be. Granted, they're playing the Knicks right now, but like, they're not shooting well, they're not defending well, and as usual, Steph Curry can't do it all.
Yeah, I mean, I just think nobody's really just scared of the Warriors, right? Their young guys are not producing. Like you mentioned, Wiseman got sent down to the G League. Draymond's whatever. Klay is not Klay anymore. He's never going to be Klay again.
No.
And Steph is Steph, but it's just not enough. Even if they go on some kind of run, right? They win all these games in a row and they get above 500. They're not winning a championship this year. They're not a contender. I don't think they're really hungry either. I don't really think they're hungry anymore, you know? And that's what happens to all the teams that win multiple championships. We saw it happen with the Lakers. You know, we saw it happen with the Pistons. You know, at some point, it just gets to you, right? Just the mm-hmm. togetherness, just teams, their teams out there just are hungry and they just want it more. And that's what it looks like now. I mean, they blown out. They got beat by the Suns. They got beat by the Magic. Like, they get beaten by bad teams.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, they're not ones to rest on their laurels. They've shaken up this roster before, and it wouldn't surprise me if they shook up the roster again. It wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody took a flyer on Wiseman and they were able to bring in, like, a veteran or two. It sounds like a very LeBron-type move, you know? Like, when LeBron would send somebody out and bring back, like, George Hill. And George Hill would... He would come in and he would be exactly what the Cavs needed or exactly what the Heat needed. And Myers is a savvy guy. Kerr is a savvy guy. And I think that they'd be more than capable, especially if they wanted to, you know, if they wanted to, like, move some of these younger pieces like Moody or Kuminga or... You know, if they want to move them to, like, Chicago to bring in a DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, that would be, like, a blockbuster. That would have to be Draymond plus picks plus, like, more players. Like, that would be, like, that's not a regular season trade. Like, I don't see that as – or not a one-for-one, a one-team trade that might have to be, like, a couple, like, a three-team, maybe even a four-team trade to get equal assets. But Bob Myers – and Steve Kerr, they're definitely tinkerers, and they may look now like they're not hungry, but like the core of this team is hungry, and they'll be around. And like we've seen, All you got to do is get hot at the right time and get healthy at the right time. And if they're hot and healthy at the right time, the Warriors can definitely make a run. So it's too early to count them out. Can they come up from a six seed and get to the conference finals? Absolutely. If they get hot shooting, they can shoot with the best of them. They can still shoot with the best of them.
That's a good name for a fantasy team, hot and healthy.
Hot and healthy, that's not bad. Yeah, I might hang on to that for next fantasy.
Can you take the championship from DNZ? This year, you can play our football pick'em on CBS Sports and compete against us in the option every week. Check the link in our Instagram bio, Fade Route Podcast, for all the details and to sign up. Then tune into the Fade Route every week until the Super Bowl for updates and standing. Bring it on.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, here we go. We have a statement, and it's either more likely or less likely that it's going to happen. More likely or less likely, number one, all of the teams in the NFC East are going to make the playoffs.
Ah, it's less likely, man. I mean, they're just going to bludgeon each other towards the end of the season. Although Washington does have a nice spark with Taylor Heinicke, even though when Wentz is healthy, he's not going to replace Heinicke. I think that's the right move there. They're getting their best defensive player back, right? I believe. I think it's going to be, they're going to bludgeon each other down the line. Three teams will get in, but not all four.
I'm going less likely as well. I'm just not sold on the Washington Commanders. They are definitely not
Chase
up
Young.
To snuff.
Chase Young's coming back, yeah.
Yeah, Chase Young's coming back, but I it's not enough. You know, this team is just not talented enough. Like, that's just the short, long and the short of it. Now, if you look at the top three teams at the bottom, right? The six through eight. You're looking at Giants, Cowboys. They have two games against each other, one on Thanksgiving. Giants play the Eagles twice. Giants play the Commanders twice. They will be tested within division. The Cowboys, like, they still have, they're playing the Vikings this weekend. They still have plenty of tests on their schedule. And I mean, Washington better win this weekend. They draw the Texans. So looking forward, I gotta say, the Niners, they have a really tough schedule. They definitely do. Like, they're drawing Arizona this weekend in Mexico City, New Orleans, Miami, Tampa, Seattle. Like, at the end of the year, it tails off because you have Vegas and Arizona again. But, I mean, this is going to be down to the wire. But don't look now. Kind of laying in the weeds. Just waiting. The Atlanta Falcons. It's surprising, considering the fact that we kind of had them written off, right? Chicago, the Commanders, the Steelers. Steelers are no good. Bye week. The Saints. The Ravens. Okay, their first real test in a while. Week 16. The Cards may be out of it by then. And then last game of the year against the Bucks, which may be for the division title. So if the Falcons don't get in, the Bucks might end up sliding into that last spot. So that does not bode well for the Commanders. That definitely does not bode well when you have two teams that are a lot better than them still in the hunt. So I'm going to go less likely at all four. I'm with you. I think three is going to be the max for NFC East teams. More likely or less likely? Number two, Aaron Judge's record-setting home run ball fetches more than $3 million at auction.
This comes up because the guy who caught the ball claims that he was offered $3 million for the ball, but he's still sending it to auction. You know, I don't think it's going to go that high. I think it'll go for over $1 million, but I don't think it's going to go for $3 million.
I'm going to go more likely. I think it's more likely that it'll get to that part. You know, I think that, you know,
it's a Yankee record.
It's a Yankee record. It's an American League record. It's, you know, it's a home run record. So
if he leaves the Yankees, does it diminish the value of the ball?
I don't think it does. I really don't think it does, because he was a Yankee when he said it. So it's one of those things that, I mean, Roger Maris didn't finish his career as a Yankee either. So, you know, and Babe Ruth didn't finish his career as a Yankee. So it's one of those things that it's sports memorabilia. Sports memorabilia come, they have wacky prices, you know. It's one of those things that you can drive it up and drive it up and drive it up and drive it up. It's possible it could get more than $3 million. I mean, I wouldn't pay more than, I don't know, how many, what's the going rate for a baseball these days? Like, what, 10 bucks?
8 bucks.
You know, that's 8 bucks. You know, that's, you know, I'm not big on memorabilia and souvenirs. I got some stuff, but like, I wouldn't break the bank for something like this. But, you know, it has its market, and a real historian. And don't be surprised if the Baseball Hall ends up with this. Like, somebody will buy it just to donate it. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Somebody gets a payday. This guy gets a payday. The Hall gets their ball. Everybody wins. But, $3 mil, maybe over. It's definitely within the realm of possibility. More likely, less likely. Number three, Team USA will make some noise in the World Cup this year.
Ah, being played in Qatar? How do you say it? Qatar
or, yeah, Qatar, depending on Qatar. Who you're talking to.
It's Qatar. I don't think so. For me, you know, Italy's out of it, which kind of, you know, dampens it for me. I think the U.S. will get out of the first round. I don't expect them to go much further. But do you hear they banned the sale of alcohol in the stadiums?
Yes.
They just announced that. How shitty is that? Like, if you bought these tickets and now you find out you can't even have a beer in the stadium? Oh, my gosh, that's awful.
Well, I mean, it's dry county. Like, what do you want me to say, man? Like, it's pretty bad, especially since Budweiser is a big sponsor. So, thank you for the money. We're still not going to sell your product. That's kind of a kick in the dick if I've ever heard one. It's like, oh my goodness. But you know what? I'm gonna go more likely as well. Like, it's going to be a hotly contested group. Their group is Iran, England, and Wales. England is the number 5 ranked team in the world. Okay, so you have guys like Raheem Sterling, you have Jordan Pickford as the keeper. You're gonna have, you know, you have Harry Kane, Tottenham's best striker. You have so many players. That team is loaded for bear. US, very young. You have your Gio Reynas, you have your Christian Pulisics, you have a few players that are under the age of 20. So that's, you know, you have a bright future. But the question mark in goal, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Matt Turner, formerly of the New England Revs, now of Arsenal, a sub for Arsenal? Or is it Sean Johnson from NYCFC? Or, you know, there's a question mark there. And on the back line, you have Tim Ream. Tim Ream's 35 years old. Is he going to be able to hang with the young, fresh legs? I don't know that. But Wales, I mean, as long as Wales has Gareth Bale, they're going to be a tough out. So they'll make some noise. I mean, define making some noise. You get out of the group, it's possible that they get out of the group. It's definitely possible that they get out of the group. It wouldn't surprise me if England choked. England choked in the Euros with a very similar team. So, you know, this is very evenly matched, except for England, who's about, should be head and shoulders above. Iran, very good team. Wales, very good team. U.S., very good, but very young. I can definitely see them. I can see a run. I can see a run to at least the knockout stage. So I'm going to go more likely on it, but barely. This team has won nothing. Greg Berhalter, he's not the most inspiring as a coach. Talent-wise, America doesn't really match up in terms of skill. Like, they are very... They're going to be tactically challenged. They're definitely going to be tactically challenged as we go through the World Cup. We'll definitely see. But the future is bright. I don't know specifically about this World Cup, though. Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. Here's how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter page at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of our poll gets a shout out on this here show and the coveted ass trophy. And D, do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
Jim Irsay. That's a pretty safe bet. A pretty safe bet that Jim Irsay was going to take home the coveted ass trophy after what went down last week. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees, D?
First, I got the Golden State Warriors. Defending champions, 0-8 on the road to start the season, 6-9 record. Other teams that have not won on the road are the Magic, Pistons, and the Lakers. Real winners in that group. Golden State Warriors, you're my alleged superstar of the week. And number two, Todd Downing, Titans offensive coordinator, pulled over at 4 o'clock in the morning for DWI after landing in Nashville. Dude, what are you doing on the flight home? Todd Downing, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the New York Yankees signing IKF to a 1-year, $6 million deal. Why? What a waste. New York Yankees, you're my alleged superstars of the week. Z, what do you got?
Great choices. You actually picked off Downing off my list. So, like, that's good. He's an honorable mention now on mine. I'm going to start with Mark Davis, owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Your team is 2-7, last in the AFC West, losing to a neophyte head coach, taking the drive from Bristol to Indianapolis, having players and coaches in that locker room who probably don't want him there, and you guys lose. Your response? Rome wasn't built in a day. Josh McDaniels, doing a fine job. If this is a fine job, I'd love to see what you think a terrible job is. This is a dysfunctional franchise, and it all stems from you, Mr. Davis. Mark Davis, you are my alleged superstar of the week. The nation of Qatar for banning beer at the World Cup on such short notice. And not only banning beer sales, but taking the money from Budweiser, who's a sponsor of the FIFA World Cup. Thank you, but no thank you. We'll take the money though. Cutter, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, Cody Bellinger, 2019 MVP, non-tendered by the Dodgers.
Wild.
Non-tendered. This guy is on the market now. Now, I wonder who would take a flyer on him. Because at this point, it's a risk. You're definitely taking a flyer on this guy, even though just a few short seasons ago, he was the MVP of the National League and seemed to be a can't-miss superstar. How the mighty have fallen. Cody Bellinger, you are my alleged superstar of the week. We've said our piece. The poll goes up at the end of the show. Go to our Twitter, at FadeRouteDNZ, and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week.
It is the option for NFL Week 11. And if you want to get in on the action with us and see how you match up against DNZ, go to our CBS Pick'em. It's still open. Go to our Instagram profile at Fade Route Podcast. Click that link in bio and join today and see if you can take on DNZ. We missed out on the Thursday night extravaganza that was the Titans and Packers. D and I both had the Titans. So there's that. So woo! We jump right in to Sunday. The 3-7 Chicago Bears go into Hotlanta to take on the 4-6 Atlanta Falcons.
I am taking the Bears.
Yeah, that's pretty. That reaction is exactly what I had too. It's just like, I don't know. But like Tony Romo, Jim, I don't know. I'm gonna take the Bears too, narrowly. These teams are like evenly matched. We'll be kind and say they're evenly matched. The 3-7 Carolina Panthers, with Baker Mayfield as their starting quarterback, go into Baltimore to take on Lamar Jackson and the 6-3 Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens
pretty easily. Over under 3 picks for Baker.
Under.
It's gonna be a tough day. Tough day for one Mr. Mayfield. The 3-6 Browns now go into Detroit to take on the 6-3 Buffalo Bills.
Taking the Browns.
Okay. Jacoby Brissett's last week, correct? Or is I believe Mr. Watson is now allowed in the building.
He can practice, but he can't play until after Thanksgiving, I think.
So he's knocking on the doorstep. And this is where Cleveland wanted to be, right? Just kind of hovering in the mix. They're not totally out of it yet. That being said, I'm still taking the Bills. Like, moving to a neutral site definitely opens things up for Josh Allen, and I think that he and Gabe Davis are going to have a few big connections this weekend in the Motor City. The 5-5 Commanders go into Houston to take on the 1-7-1 Houston Texans.
The Commies. Love saying that.
This is tough. It's definitely tough, right? You got some momentum off of knocking off the Eagles. I got to take the Commanders as well. I think Dameon Pierce is still going to have a big game, but Chase Young's going to have an even bigger game, sacking Longneck at least twice. The 8-1 freshly beaten Philadelphia Eagles go into Indianapolis to take on the 4-5-1 Colts.
Eagles.
This is going to be a beatdown. This is going to be a beatdown. The Eagles are going to go in there pissed, and the Eagles are going to trounce them handily. Darius Slay and James Bradbury are licking their chops, knowing that they have Matt Ryan on the other side of that ball.
Matt Ryan.
Matty Ice. The 1 o'clock hour continues with the 6-3 Jets going into Foxborough to take on the 5-4 New England Patriots.
New England.
I'm going with the Pats as well, but I think it's going to be closer than we think. It was only 5 points last time. I'm thinking somewhere in the 3-1 range this go around. The 3-6 Rams come east to take on the 3-7 New Orleans Saints, and Matthew Stafford is out of the concussion protocol.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the Saints. They haven't won in a while. Both teams seem like they keep trying to lose. I don't know why the Saints are starting Dalton. So strange.
Yeah. I mean, Jameis Winston is on record saying it hurts his heart that he's not playing. And I kind of don't understand why either. You know, Jameis Winston is better than Andrew Dalton. He should be in the lineup. And yet, he is not. That being said, the Rams are cooked. I'm going to take the Saints as well. The 3-6 Detroit Lions come into MetLife Stadium to take on the 7-2 New York Football Giants.
Giants.
Giants close. Lions play tough. Giants close. A Gano field goal at the buzzer. We're in the 4 o'clock hour now. The 2-7 Raiders go into the Mile High to take on the 3-6 Russell Wilson-led Denver Broncos.
How could you possibly take them? You have to take the Broncos. You can't possibly take the Raiders for any more games this year.
Other than the fact that it's the Broncos, they both stink. I'm very tempted to pick a tie. They both suck. The one difference is that the Broncos, their defense actually shows up from time to time. The Raiders apparently don't. I'm going to take the Broncos, but very narrowly and without any confidence. Broncos country, let's ride. The 6-3 Cowboys go into Minnesota to take on the 8-1 Minnesota Vikings.
Cowboys.
I'm going with the Vikings. Even with Trayvon Diggs. I think that Justin Jefferson is going to have a game. Kirk Cousins is going to do, Kirk Cousins things now. He's now a legend with his chains and his glasses on the flights home. It's crazy. It's amazing to see what the hell has happened to Kirk Thuggins, as they like to call him. But big game from Dalvin Cook. That's what I'm expecting. Big game from Dalvin Cook. At least 120 yards on the ground. And a touchdown. 4:25 rolls on. The 5-4 Cincinnati Bengals go into Pittsburgh to take on the 3-6 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Bengals.
Steelers are no good. Bengals pretty handily. your Sunday night special, flexed into that spot. The 7-2 Chiefs go into SoFi and take on the 5-4 Los Angeles Chargers.
Chiefs.
How about them Chiefs? Over under. 2 touchdowns for Kadarius Toney this week.
Over.
I agree. Like, Kadarius Toney is becoming a major weapon, and that looks like a misstep by the Giants. Looks like a major misstep by the Giants. Your Monday night delight coming to you from Mexico City. We're going international yet again. The 5-4 San Francisco 49ers at the 4-6 Arizona Cardinals with Colt McCoy under center again, most likely.
Really? Kyler Murray's
Wow. I'm pretty sure Colt McCoy is still going to play.
Wow. Yeah, I'm taking the 49ers.
I'm taking the Niners as well. And even if Kyler Murray was in there, I would take him regardless. I think that the defense plays and the Niners are loaded. They are loaded and ready to roll. So I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury is long for the NFL. Teams on a bye this week: the Jags, the Dolphins, the Seahawks, and the Bucks.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You can catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Radio, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us in, crowd.